going to that Johnson Auto Plaza VIP line. It's Blaine Bishop, Hitman, former NFL safety. You hear him on 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey out there talking Titans football. Blaine, it's Nick and Cecil here on The Fan. How's it going, man?
What's going on, guys? Man, it sounds like you guys are having a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's what we do. It's a secret ingredient, as you know, in radio. Let's just have fun. Let's talk some football. And I want to first talk about the safety position. When you and Nick played, it was a hard-hitting, very physical, very intimidating. Things are a little bit different now. But safeties are so vital, so crucial to this game, always have been. But how has that position changed in recent years from your perspective?
Well, that's kind of interesting that you say that, because a lot of people feel like the safety position is devalued. I actually think the value of safety should be going up.
Yes.
In that they have to do multiple things with the passing game going on now. Everybody throwing around. You already have to have multi-skills, whether you're playing, you know, deep middle, cover two, in the box, you know, covering the slot. Man, you got to do a lot of different things. So, yeah, I think that's what's changed. And naturally, you can't take people's heads off, so. Me and Nick are very disappointed. Gosh, but you know,
dadgummit. Give me a little Philip, you know, Rivers right there, dadgummit. You know, there's a guy that played for the Titans this year, Desmond King, and he's going to be a free agent. And I know the Broncos are definitely looking for veteran corners to help out this young group. What have you seen in your evaluation of Desmond King that would possibly make him somewhat of a good prospect that the Broncos could look at?
Well, basically, what they used him here for is a slot. So they had outside guys. They had guys that actually couldn't play the slot. And being the physicality and the veteran and savviness, knowing the game. So he did that, and he did a fairly good job of that, too. He was blitzing, playing the run front in support. Nicely built guy who looked strong, durable. And he covered really well. He was really aggressive at the line of scrimmage. He's a great press guy off the slot. And as you know, that's really hard to do. The only think negative thing I was really concerned with is deep speed. That came up on a couple occasions. But other than that, I don't think there's nothing that he couldn't do. Now, they never showed him outside, at least with the Titans. And I know in his background, he played outside as well as he was a punt returner.
Blaine Bishop, former NFL safety, joining us, Nick and Cecil here on The Fan. And you knowing defensive football so well, what are your opinions on Vic Fangio's defense? You know, not everybody's been healthy. Certainly that was a big problem for the Broncos last year. But just knowing his defense throughout the years, whether it was the Bears, or the 49ers, the Saints back in the day, you know, how do you feel about that zone dog, don't really blitz, try to get pressure with four type of defense that Vic Fangio runs?
Well, I don't know a lot of in detail about his defense, but naturally, anytime you're doing zone blitz schemes, you're trying to get them to, you know, commit to their, you know, blocking scheme and their pass protections and run game blocking scheme early, and then they come and bring it from somewhere else, and then someone comes free. That's pretty much all I know really about his defense per se, but I haven't watched it very closely though.
Now, Cecil brought up a name, you know, last week. And this seems to be a young guy who's had some issues there in Tennessee, and maybe you can tell us a little more about it, Isaiah Wilson. And Cecil was thinking, okay, well, here's a guy that maybe the Broncos, because of Mike Munchak and his relationship with kind of building offensive linemen, maybe the Broncos can look to pull Isaiah Wilson from the Titans and just kind of revitalize his career. What have you seen with Isaiah's Wilson and his issues with the Titans?
Well, let's first start off. He only played four snaps the whole season, and they were all on special teams. And he got knocked on. He got pancaked on field goal. Let's start there.
That's okay. That's not a good start.
I don't know if that's what they called him at George or what. Seemed like a really nice kid initially, and then he had COVID, so he missed twice at that time. He didn't come into camp in shape, which a lot of young guys didn't do, especially with the COVID going on. And he had some like that issues like that there at Georgia initially, so they redshirted him, come to find out. And then as the season went along, he just didn't seem like he was into actually the team and really progressing and trying to get on the football field. It's almost like he got the money and he shut it down. Like, I'm going to just show up. I mean, he got arrested. You know, you could say all of them were, you know, just being a young kid, but one of them just, you know, doing donuts in the parking lot, getting pulled over. That one there was a little different than getting a DUI. So I think he, I don't know if it's actually him being young, because I was very careful and teeter with that, because it start happening on occasion. Then they suspended him. And so there's a portion they can get out of his contract. So I don't know if they're going to try to trade him, keep him, try to revitalize him, you know, or cut him. I have no idea. But I really think he needs to go to counseling, because this is beyond being young, young and dumb with a lot of money, a lot of people want to say. Right. I think this is a very serious issue, and that's just me talking. Naturally, we didn't have a lot of or any contact with the players. I did not. I didn't see them practice or anything. So, but it, for it to go continually over and over again was really kind of high. And where they got to the point where they suspended him, man, I had never even heard of that. NFI. Yeah, so I didn't even know about that. So with all that being said, all the people at Georgia say that he's a good kid. You know, and they say he's solid. We had people on after the fact and asked them, and, you know, and that they're shocked just like everybody else. So I'm interested to see. I think he has some talent. Naturally, won the first round. Maybe that was a little bit of a stretch, but, you know, Mike Munchak, I have a lot of respect for, and he definitely gets the best out of it. He's a great communicator, and he doesn't communicate with everybody the same way, and that's why he's such a great coach. So I have a lot of respect for Munch. And by the way, I played with Munch one year, my rookie year. That was his last year in the basketball.
Really?
And he and he never practiced. I was like, man, what's going on with this dude out there? Don't worry about it. He'll be fine. Just watch him in the game. Just watch him. Just watch like three guys. So, yeah, that's how long until all the way to my last year in the league, I played with another guy of yours, Brian Dawkins, which was really, he was a national Eagle, naturally for all those years. So, yeah, that's how long I spent it over the course of time. So, yeah, I think Munchak, if anybody, for sure, somebody that I know personally and what he goes about, how he goes about his business as a coach, no question, he could definitely handle him. And, you know, naturally, guy's more of a run blocker from what I'm watching from his college days after I started looking into him a little bit more. Foot quickness was a, you know, but he was naturally not in shape. So I think you get that hammered down, I think, and get his technique right, Munchak's the guy to do something like that for sure.
Blaine Bishop, former NFL safety, joining us here, Nick and Cecil on the Fan. You can hear him, Blaine and Mickey, on 104.5 The Zone. By the way, Blaine, I love how every sports station is either The Fan, The Zone, The Locker. Like, we all have the same names across the country.
Right.
The Zone.
With the band, right?
Yeah. So I want to ask you about Ryan Tannehill and how y'all fixed him. And what it takes to, you know, kind of get the best out of a quarterback. We got Drew Lock here. He was regularly one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL last year. You know, Ryan Tannehill had to go through Adam Gase, so, you know, maybe that was the largest problem.
Right.
But what did y'all do to fix him? And you know, talk about his progress as a passer.
Well, first of all, I don't know if Adam Gase is just not, you know, he's just not good with quarterbacks at times, and he makes them nervous and make them make decisions, and there are some of them, in some cases, just didn't play very well. You know, if you go back and look at Tannehill, though, and you look at his career, he threw for 4,000 yards one season. He had some pretty good seasons there. He got injured one time. He played through it, then eventually got surgery with, I think, an ACL. Must not forget, Tannehill was an exceptional athlete coming out of college. Played wide receiver in college one year at A&M. Then he moved back to quarterback, and he played, by the way, too. So he's a real good athlete. He's strong in the pocket. He stands in there to the last minute and lets it fly. So he's got some toughness to him. His accuracy was great, and he throws great deep balls. So when I used to tell the Dolphins people when we first got him that he looked better than Mariota when Mariota was actually the starter in training camp, they laughed at me. I said, hey, I'm just telling you what I see. I see the talent. He's a much more talented player than Marcus Mariota. I said he's got a bigger arm, he's stronger, and he has a better feel for the pocket and to maneuver within the pocket, which Marcus Mariota did not have. You know, I guess you fast forward, and then, you know, once he got the job, he sat there patiently and supported Marcus through the way, and once he got the opportunity, which was against Denver, by the way,
right.
And he drove right down. People say, oh, that was at the end of the game. That was all I needed to see to say he was the quarterback for the Tennessee Titans from here on out. And I got bashed for that. I say because he's consistent. Marcus was inconsistent. And that's what you want your quarterback to be a consistent player, game in, play out. And his accuracy and his toughness, standing in the pocket to the last minute, really was a difference maker. And then his leadership skills. So I think he learned a lot from being in Miami. I think we got the best version of Tannehill and a much more confident guy. And he feels like this is his team. And he was making checks and changing plays, you know, at the line of scrimmage all the time. So he had to trust in the organization and the offensive coordinator, who is now the head coach, Arthur Smith, of the Atlanta Falcons.
Now I want to shift gears for just a second and talk about something really funny, because I showed my producer KB and Sisu, you know, what my hand actually looked like. And they say it looked like the hand from a scary movie, right? And now
when like Freddy Krueger or something.
Well, you sent me a video of your hand, and I want you to explain to both KB and Sisu, you know, what it's like to play in the NFL and you have your hands end up as mangled as your hands actually look.
Is that like a badge of honor? Like, what's up with the all digits, man? Because Nick going to run around waving at me, leading in that parade wave. I don't even know when he's pointing, right? Is he pointing at me? He's pointing at KB. Nick, you got to tell us, man. What's up, Blaine? Yeah, what's up with the all digits, man?
He's got multiple, so I think he has a little bit more horse behind it. At least the one I did have that is going the other way, I had 3 pins put in it to save it, to be honest. Whoa. And I didn't even know it happened. That's the adrenaline rush you got in the game to explain what, you know, Nick is talking about. I got my finger caught in a helmet, and I didn't even know it until after, you know, I get it out, or it got stuck in there, and then I get it out, and then I'm walking and go ready break in the huddle, and my finger hits the middle of my hand. And, you know, I consider myself pretty tough. I looked at it and go, what the? And so I called timeout, and the coach was like, what the? Maybe bleep, are you doing? I say, something wrong with my finger, and it won't go back in. I tried to pop it back in.
Oh.
And he goes, okay. We'll just tape the 2 fingers together, and then go back out there, okay? I said, okay, I get you next series. Take my finger up, play through the game to my other finger, and after the game on Monday, I'm getting surgery and 3 pins to put in there because it is no longer, it's going to be chopped off. Yeah. That's why mine looks like that, and it's calloused up, and it just it looks absolutely horrible.
See, it's funny because, you know, Blaine's
finger. It looks
like
it's on the wrong hand.
Yeah,
man.
It does. It looks like it's trying to escape or something like that.
Yeah, man. But I've gotten so used to it. But I do know it does help me tell me when it's going to rain.
So you don't need a meteorologist. You just kind of get the feel of your finger.
Yeah, it starts stiffening up, and then I can't bend it. I'm like, whoa, it must be right around the corner. It's coming.
Oh, you know what, man? I these 2 guys give me a lot of grief about my hand, and I can't really do anything about it because surgery will not correct it. So this is the hand that I have to live with from here on out. But like I tell them, you know, these are battle scars that I wear proudly because, you know, as a safety, you're banging. You know, something's going to happen. Your hand is going to be in there. Your hand ended up in the face mask of someone.
Yeah.
I can only imagine how that felt, man. But thanks, man, for giving us some of your time. Obviously, I'm going to make some more jokes about your mangled hand as I look at my own.
Of course.
But I always appreciate you. Go ahead,
Blaine. Whoa. I got to ask you guys a question real quick.
Yeah.
How was – I know y'all guys released Jarrell Casey and he got injured, but how was he, even in that short window, y'all got to see him? And not just on the field and off the field, man, because – I have a lot of respect for him and his family, and just how he went about his business as a pro's pro.
Yeah, and such a presence in that locker room. With COVID, we weren't allowed in that locker room, but I'm really close to Teron Davenport, who you know out there covering the Titans for ESPN.
Yeah.
And TD always told me, like, dude, you got to talk about Jarrell, about his kids, and, like, just such a great guy. And I was so looking forward to seeing him. It was such a great deal for the Broncos that just never came to fruition because, you know, Jarrell got hurt.
Yeah, I don't know. What did he tear, his bicep or tricep? What did he do?
bicep.
I think it was his bicep.
Yeah.
So,
any possibility y'all gonna sign him?
Probably not. And I think it was TV that also reported you guys aren't gonna bring him back either, I heard.
That's what they say, but you know, I said personally, you know, you gotta let bygones be bygones, and this is business. And if you can get a great deal at a premium price, if you get him for $5 million or you know whatever it may be, he was you know slated to make what 12.
Yeah, he didn't shred a knee. Yeah, you know what I mean? He's not out there running on a bum Achilles. I mean, it's just a surgery, and now he should be back at full strength.
Yeah, so I would definitely open to opportunity, but I don't think the Titans are, no, I don't think they are either. But that's what I would do if I'm a GM.
Well, hopefully, you know, the Broncos take another look at him, maybe the Titans down the road, maybe not in that first week of free agency, maybe then second or third.
Right.
But hopefully he gets another opportunity to play. But it's always a pleasure, man, to have you on. And during the season, we definitely have to get you back to have a little safety talk and help educate our fan base, man. So it's always great to have the great Blaine Hitman Bishop join the Nick and Cecil show, man. Appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate it, Nick. Cecil, man. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
There we have him, Blaine Bishop, ladies and gentlemen. Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone out there in Tennessee. Many thanks. We'll have him back on, certainly, to chop it up and to talk about this great game. It's Nick and Cecil.